In a world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rifle, Jedi Mom, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Toku news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, welcome to our Season 4, Episode 45.
I bet you didn't G that coming.
That's funny, because G was in the Power Rangers show.
Spoilers.
Shit.
Thanks, spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So this is our 201st episode. Last week was our 200th episode, and we really didn't do anything. So sorry about that.
I really didn't do anything.
We talked about it, like always, we talked about it several times, and then it slipped our minds. I think Brian was sick, and he wanted to get done, and... Yeah.
Plus, I mean, 200 falls so close to the anniversary.
Yeah.
So
we didn't want to be all Kamen Rider and just do a bunch of movies. But
we have team ups with past versions of ourselves.
We hope to be doing something for the anniversary. So stay tuned for that, or don't. I don't care what happens.
Sounds like fun. So one ups. I downloaded Battle Troze.
These are the most up to date
minutes ago.
This book is so weak.
I ate a lot of food. I've been sick. I poopied a lot.
Oh my god!
I poopy a lot too, but
Kevin just peed in the bed.
I didn't pee in the bed. That was Kaylee.
Don't let him tell you otherwise.
You really shouldn't blame this stuff on your daughter.
Don't enable him.
I told you, I was at work when the bed was peed in.
Yeah, he peed in his bed at work. How crazy is that, guys?
Oh, God.
Cordelia even knows about it.
Oh, I mentioned it last week, because I mentioned...
He keeps calling you Cordelia.
It too, but I finally got Kurokage in the mail.
Along mine's still on its way.
Along with the Super
Rocket
Switch.
He upgraded to the Hopper.
You.
But yeah, that's it. I've been sick. And
but it's the only name he can remember because he's stupid.
Is something happening? Is Brian still talking?
I'm done.
I'm going to pass because I don't have anything to say. I'm just going to keep coloring.
Okay. Well, I've been gone for a couple of weeks. I was sick 2 weeks ago.
What'd you have for lunch yesterday?
Your mother.
You've all been dying to hear the latest trip to the chicken joint.
And then last week I was just really exhausted, so I missed that. But let's see. I got Yoshi's New Island. I beat World 1 of that. That was pretty fun.
I got Yoshi's Today, Old Island. He was selling
fuck it. You. Today I downloaded Pokemon Battle Troze. I started that game too. That's also really fun.
How's Pokemon X and Y coming?
Suck my dick.
Black White 2.
Let's see.
Ruby and Sapphire.
Those Ruby and Sapphire. All that's missing in Ruby and Sapphire is Deoxys, Lugia, and Ho-Oh.
Ho-Oh, it's magic.
Okay.
And anyway, and Celebi. And what was I saying? Oh, I've been recording more reviews. Kurokage and Greedon are on their way. Along with my Okibox, they're all going south, so I'll get them in about a year.
The way New York's going, that's about accurate, yes.
Once again, AmiAmi wants to try and ship me just 3 vinyls, and I'm like, no thanks. No thanks. And let's see. I got the Legacy Green and White Morpher, because I found that at Toys R Us. And I got
God damn it, this book is so old, I can't even fucking handle it. Sorry.
I didn't know you could read. You learned to read?
I'm drawing in it, and it keeps scratching whenever I'm coloring.
Oh. It's not a reading book, it's just a drawing book.
It's a project.
He's coloring. It's probably like a Dora the Explorer coloring book. Maybe there's activities too. You can do a like dot, one of those numbered. Fuck, I forgot what they're called now. Connect the dots. There we go.
Light bright.
Way to make fun of somebody.
Shut up.
Light bright to the best.
And then our dog got loose in the house and destroyed some of my toys.
I want to kill her.
You're not going to kill the dog.
She destroyed better than you.
She destroyed Masterpiece Rodimus.
She destroyed my Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Why do you have the Christmas tree up?
No, this was back in December.
Why is this a story? This is March.
Christmas in July, bitch.
And she destroyed Transmetal Rampage. And one of those NASCAR car transformers from the last movie.
Your Sonic hat.
Yeah, she destroyed the Sonic hat.
Oh no.
I have a spare. Because they gave me two, because I got both versions of the game, DS and Wii, so I got two hats.
You should all wear those to Morphicon.
Let's
okay. We suit up. Never mind, that was a pain in the ass.
Kaylee, other day when we were in the car, we were listening to the podcast, and she goes, "Is Brian at our house?" I said, "No, baby, Brian's not at our house." Oh. Can we go visit him? I said, "No, we can't go visit Brian." She goes, "Why not?" I said, "Because he lives really far away." She goes, "Oh." A couple of days later, same situation, listening to the podcast, and she goes, "Is Dawson at our house?" I said, "No, he's not at our house." "Oh, he's at his house?" "Yeah, he's at his house." "Can we go see him at his house?" I said, "No, baby. He's in Colorado." Oh.
It's dangerous there.
Yeah, she looks out the window and she goes, "I see his car." I said, "I don't think you see Dawson's car."
"I definitely don't think you see my car."
She goes, "Yes, I do." It was really funny. Like she thought Brian was Dawson at one point.
We all blobbed into one meat sack a while back. Aerosol's slowly making his way in for a landing. Well, we have to do meat sack times four. It'll be like shout 'em on cross four.
Well, I'm not getting on the bottom this time, because seriously. I mean, like when Brian climbed on
top. I'm not getting on the bottom.
Wait, I call that bottom.
No, Brian, looks like you're the base.
Yeah. That's fine.
Sounds right.
When Brian climbed on top of me, actually.
I'm the lightest base. You would think the most sturdy combination.
You'd think when you look at Brian, like, oh man, if he climbs on top of you, it's going to hurt. Actually, it doesn't. It didn't hurt till Dawson got his fat ass on top.
You know what it was? It was the Coke bottle that Brian handed me. It tipped the scale just enough.
Can I just be a quiet observer?
No.
No?
We have to do cross four, not cross three. We don't even have a sword.
So we did that, and then, let's see. I don't know what else. Oh, I had a tournament. I had my tournament last weekend, my karate tournament, that I was helping to run. I was center reffing one of the rings, so I had to, like, make all the calls and yell a lot. But I competed. I got first place in my forms division. I finally got a gold medal. And I lost in overtime my sparring match with my instructor, which is the closest I've come to beating him, like, ever. So that was pretty fun. But I had to spend the entire day like in a shirt and tie and dress pants, like running around this ring.
Isn't that the worst? It's like being out in your Halloween costume.
Like, it really is. Like, I hate being dressed that way. And then I found out that morning that the shirt is now too short somehow. Like, I wore it last year, and I haven't really gotten any bigger since last year. But somehow it's too short. So it was really uncomfortable. And, I apparently broke the rules at one point. Because there was two kids sparring in my ring.
And I started beating them up. Sorry.
Well, the girl was clearly... There was this little black girl and then this little blonde-headed white boy.
Sounds like they had it coming.
And the black girl was beating the living shit out of the little blonde-headed white boy.
It's because she's from the streets.
And I look up, and the score is the exact opposite of what it should be. Like, the boy... Like, the little kid who wasn't, like, throwing nothing had, like, four extra points. I'm like more than her. I'm like, That's not
It's called
right.
white privilege.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it probably is because he's white. And
I know.
So, like, I had just stopped it and, like, adjusted the scores some. Apparently you're not supposed to do that. Apparently that's breaking the rules. I was like, well, I'm sorry, but I can't in good conscience let this kid win who is literally standing there cowering in fear. Like, it just doesn't work that way. But whatever.
Two,
like, three. You can't manipulate the score. I'm like, clearly the fucking judges are blind.
Oh, I did 10 pages.
They were looking at the wrong ring or something. But yeah, so we did that. We bought Frozen because we're that kind of people. We've already watched it like three times.
I still wish it was Frozone, the Incredibles spinoff.
Well, I mean, they are making a second Incredibles and a third Cars. Mm. So, Henshin.
All right, I'm just gonna go now.
Dickwad.
Everything I got this week was just books. So I got the final two volumes of the Legends with the Z manga.
It's so edgy.
I don't know where the Z came from. Cool blasters. my straight up business deal, Fedora.
I got the All You Need Is Kill novel, which is the novel that new Tom Cruise movie is based off of.
Fuck yeah, Tom Cruise, Scientology.
And then just yesterday I got the
sorry
first three graphic novels for Soul Catchers parentheses S.
That's being edgy too.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't get the parentheses.
I don't know why Aerosol's so edgy all of a sudden.
I like edgy. Most people don't. Let's see. I bought a few. And I just ordered a few LBX, but they only just shipped.
What are they?
LBX Buster.
Which one? Red, blue, yellow? Just kidding.
Were they all Buster?
Yeah, I bought three Busters.
He is pretty cool.
No,
his color is unlike the Go Busters.
Well, I plan on painting them. That's why I got three of them. Because I've really been in the mood to, well, A, build an LBX kit, and B, paint one. So I figure this way I can have one Buster that can just stay as is, and I can paint the others however I want.
And then one Buster just for fun.
You just and then make one look like Red Buster.
Okay.
Huh?
I'm dying slowly.
I've been making playlists on my YouTube channel.
What?
I really?
I know no one could figure that out.
No way.
That's been a fun thing to do. That's what I do at work all day.
It's been a blast for us.
It's been a blasty blast.
All right, news.
I beat your mother in the face with my kick.
Yeah, that too.
Yay, news.
So all we got this week is some figure arts, and normally I wouldn't really give a shit. But among these figure arts was Hibiki.
Max Strider, Super Gold.
Hibiki-san says never pass up a good reveal.
Revealed. But man, this thing is gorgeous.
It really is. And it's a nice new mold, too. So
Robo Rider? I know. He looks really good.
Nobody likes Robo Rider.
Sound Out does.
I want Robo Rider.
I just want Hibiki. And the only issue is he's like 5,400 yen before taxes, which doesn't really matter because AmiAmi doesn't adjust for tax or anything like that. But he's that Kabuto renewal level of pricing.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying, but it's so worth it.
He really is.
It is about the perfect figure you could possibly get. Like, I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm like, I see no flaw at all. He's like the John Casey of figure arts. So it's literally the greatest.
Just came out. Gatorade bottle.
There's also, wasn't there Zangetsu Shin?
Yeah, Zangetsu Shin.
Yeah, he's unfortunately an exclusive. I was going to pick him up, but he's an exclusive, so I don't know if I'm going to pick him up or not.
Ryan's trying to avoid Oki.
We're not on good terms right now.
Why?
No, it's a joke.
Oh. Are you mad at him? Did he wear a Marvelous?
I'm mad at you. He said he looked Marvelous, so.
And then they also had Liangles coming out soon. You don't like, you know, Mutsuki?
Who really cares?
He's the worst.
About him, honestly.
He was seriously the worst.
But yeah, they're still not showing Sentai figure. It's kind of pissing me off.
I'm pretty sure it's dead.
Like, I don't want it to be dead.
We're gonna get Z-Ranger's done. Right? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Tokyo Ichigo if it's an exclusive at this point, honestly. Like, it seems pretty much done. We have, like, figure arts for the Chick from the Ring, and we've gotten all 5 Sailor Scouts within a year.
They showed Naruto.
Oh, yeah, Naruto.
That's a thing now.
I like how we had that prototype of Naruto a really long time ago, but now it's like it's a completely different mold because it's the one from Shippuden instead of the original.
I was just going to ask what model it was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's his base outfit from Shippuden.
Oh.
So that figure arts is becoming this big catch-all of anything, especially now that it's absorbed D-Arts. It's definitely going to be mainly Rider, but I think anything else that gets lumped into figure arts now is going to be very kind of scarce. And I don't know where Sentai is anymore. It's not looking good. I will say that.
It's not,
it's
unfortunately.
It's upsetting, though, because a lot of the figures are really good.
I know. And those are the ones that I really wanted to keep collecting. And
I know. I really wanted to collect the Sentais. Like, I just opened and reviewed the Hurricanes set and Go Rider set. And I was like,
the Hurricanes are really good.
I know, they're so pretty.
I put them all up in my case, and
I did too. I put them up on the shelf with like the other Sentais, and they look so nice as a team of 5.
They need a little green buddy.
I do. Then again, my GoBusters need a gold and silver buddy.
And a beetle buddy.
I want to figure out Japanese George with trumpet.
That man.
I was going to stretch today and say that his friend that became Dr. Hemorrhoids or whatever, he's Japanese Kramer in the picture before he became Hemorrhoids.
Who's excited about Narutaki being in that movie? I mean, the crossover.
All I see is this picture of Narutaki with a puppet of himself. And I died a little.
Is he doing the puppet episode of Community?
I don't know.
It's still too early to reveal Narutaki's series? Cereal. What kind of cereal does he eat? You can't even handle it, man.
Narutaki is.
Narutaki likes Fruit Loops.
Do you remember the bit where I revealed that tricks are all the same flavor, that just different colors? Yeah. Yeah, we talked about cereal already. Don't even worry about it.
I love how we're getting the 15 Lockseed, and that's another premium Bandai because fuck everyone. And we're getting that, though, before we get Kuroka, the what is it, the Knuckle and Kurokage set.
That hasn't gone up yet, right?
No.
Because I haven't been paying attention.
What, the 15 set or the Knuckle set?
The Knuckle set. Neither have gone up. Okay, because I knew that was announced a while ago, and I kept meaning to talk to Oki about it, and I just realized it the other day, and then I didn't think it went up, and I just wanted to double check.
I mean, Oki's got it on my spreadsheet, but He's got not 15, but like Knuckle and Kurokage is on my spreadsheet.
Knuckle and Kurokage, I think, is starting March 24th.
I need my colored pencils.
The 15 sets starting pre-order on March 28th. When does this come out?
1, 2, 3.
Don't tell me when it comes out. When does the Knuckles set come out?
September.
September?
Yep.
So yeah, we'll be getting 15 before. That's weird.
I know.
Oh. Whatever. At least we're getting it.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah, it's been pretty slow, Stella. No nudes is good nudes. Huh?
But I like being nudes.
Better than saggy nudes.
Yeah, you don't want to be a saggy nude. That's just awful.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, Dawson's not acknowledged my child singing him happy birthday.
I am a cool, heartless bastard.
Brian acknowledged it.
It's not even my birthday.
Well, it was a few days ago.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, no one really cared, but...
I don't like you celebrating because you know a piece of private information about me. Birthdays were invented by Hallmark to sell cards.
So, should we move on?
No, yeah. I want to stay here. I'm just kidding.
I want to stay here for another 6 minutes and 55 seconds.
That's oddly specific.
Oh my god. Are you watching Tokyuger right now?
No.
I hate you.
Why would you think that?
Come on, son. This is unacceptable.
Okay.
Aerosol, take the wheel, just like Jesus.
It doesn't work that way, you faggot.
Well, that was really funny for some reason.
Oh, come on, Amo.
That's what that meant. Not the theme song. That's what the text meant by, it's a little late, but here it is. That's why I thought it was sent to someone else. Okay.
I see that.
Okay.
So now it's time for Superhero Time. Tokyuja. Gaim.
Tomorrow.
Here to be fruity and stuff. So.
She can't.
We're on episode 5.
2, 3. Oh shit, what? Sorry. I was counting unrelated.
I was really confused for a minute. So.
Dawson's teaching us how to count to 5.
That's as high as he can go. Even Momotaros can't do that. So, it starts off, and they're on the train, obviously, because that's what we do in this show. And the train has to stop, because the tracks just won't go any further. And there's just like this big old cloud of black smoke. It's like trying to get into Beijing. It's just a big, small cloud. And like the train won't go. I'm like, well, what do we do? And they hand write the car carrier Russia. And so they use that to get in the little cars that are powered by imagination.
It's stupid because they could have just put down that thing that got to the mech at the end of the show.
Yeah. And so they're like, okay, well, these will get you in there. So they take the cars into the city. And it turns out that like the monster of the week is like this, I guess, a garbage can or something. And he's taking all their food. And so like Wright somehow is separated from the rest of them, like always. And he ends up going to these campers and accidentally spills their last cup of noodles, and that makes them pissed off with him.
We pissed Jack Atlas off.
Yeah, pissed off your mom, fuck you. And
Jack Atlas is my mom?
Yeah, Jack Atlas is your mom. Meanwhile, the other four are in the city, and they transform to fight the monster and some crows. And let's see what else. Things happened at the base. I don't at the bad guy base. I don't the BGB. I don't know what happened there.
That's not
you
bad.
Just watched okay. this.
I know, but I kind of zoned
you
out.
You literally listening. Just finished.
Yeah, but listen to me. I'll talk.
The cost includes travel.
And
your cost includes travel. I said includes. I forgot the L.
Yeah, and so like these people like get mad at Wright. Wright leaves. The other four come up and are like, "Hey, have you seen our friend? He's about yay big. Wears a red jacket. Is kind of a douche." And they're like, "Oh yeah, we saw that guy.
I think I know who that bitch was. I can identify that bitch."
And sorry. So Wright comes back with some food that he found, and they lure out the monster. And Wright's, like, really pissed off. And they transform, and he uses his sword to trap the monster. He then tries to eat this piece of cooked fish while transformed. And then realizes, oh, wait, I'm wearing a helmet. So he de-untransforms to eat the fish and taunt the monster like an asshole. He then re-transforms, and Norikai changes through, like, a couple of different colors. Is just super pissed off. They make the Renketsu bazooka and blow the monster up. He then grows giant, and they're like, "We need our trains," but they're stuck. And they're like, "No, we can do it with the car carrier." So they use the car carrier Resha to like extend a ladder or track or something, and the trains can now enter the big black smoke. I don't know how that works exactly, but it does. And so they form Tokyo, and Wright's like, "We're going to combine with Car Carrier." And they're like, "Can we do that? Is that a thing?" And they're like, yeah, we could do that. And they're like, "Oh, okay, let's do it then." So they become Tokyo Car Carrier, and they use the cars to blow up the monster. And they're like, "Fuck yeah." And the tracks are restored to the city. And then back on the train, the conductor is like, "Yeah, we've got those support Resha. They're really great. But I've given you all the ones that I have. The rest are gone." Like, "What do you mean they're gone?" Like, "Yeah, they're lost.
They're gone.
Like, they got on this Malaysian flight, and now they're gone. We can't find them anymore." And so, like, we'll find that bitch. And they're like, "We tried. Like, not even the NSA can find them." Like, "Son of a bitch, they're listening to our phone calls, they can't find a fucking plane?" I'm like, "Exactly." And that just completely derailed. And they're like,
derailed.
"Well, exactly." And they're like, "Well," he's like, "Well, as Tokugers, you need to find the other trains." And they're like, "Why weren't we told about this sooner? That's kind of important." He's like, "I was busy with my puppet. We were doing things in the back together." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So Wright's like, "You know, I actually think I saw one of those. It was like light blue, like buried in the dirt." And they're like, do you think maybe you could have said that sooner?" And he's like, "I was busy being pissed off." And they're like, "Oh, okay, well, that's not cool." So they're going to go after the train. And the bad guys are like, "Whoa, we're going to come fight you and fuck you up." And then it ends. I don't know why.
Before we start, does anybody else hear someone massaging their mouth with potato chips during this whole thing?
That's ice.
Oh, okay.
So, I enjoyed this episode. I liked watching Wright just, like, be really pissed off and just switch colors just to, like, fuck up the monster with different weapons. I also liked him try to eat with the helmet on still. I thought that was kind of funny. And the car carrier was kind of cool. I mean, I'm excited for Tank next week. I'm really enjoying the things that this show is doing. Like, I mean, I don't think it's like, you know, super awesome, great like Kyoryuger, but it's really fun. Like, I like don't have a problem watching it every week, and I tend to look forward to it.
I was entertained by this week's episode. I just thought it was a pretty average filler. Like, other than the last couple minutes, nothing really happened. It was just a pretty average filler.
Yeah.
The fact that you didn't make reference to the tiny pudgy man with an afro greatly disappoints me.
You mean Japanese Hurley?
Sure.
Yeah, there's
but
that
yeah, that's my thoughts.
That was Betty your thoughts, was the Japanese pudgy man?
Yeah.
There's a guy with an afro. Cool episode. I liked it. It was, like you said, it was a fun filler. That's about the extent of it. We got the car carrier. That was shot cars. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah? Well, the feeling's not mutual. Sorry.
Well.
I just really had to make that reference.
But no,
I also think Brian sucks dick.
It was fun. That's about the
extent. And they're going to fight the Schwartz next week.
Yeah, the villains need to do something. Cause
I wonder
right
if Yogurt's
going to
be there.
Well, that fat baby's going to marry the one guy, so.
The fat baby scares me. I don't like fat babies.
Greta looks like she could pop. Just saying.
Just explodes.
Like she gritted it.
I don't particularly like her all that much, but
I love how the in-space belt buckle looks like a You've Got Mail logo. It's so true.
You've Got Mail. Okay.
That's funny. Like...
Tokuser's always weird. We can't talk about it. Like, there's nothing... It's fun, but there's no content.
Webster's defined Tokuger as the show we have to talk about before we can get to Gaim, so... Look, I really like Gaim.
Because it's funny, it's like, I don't really have an issue with the show.
There's just not a lot to talk about.
I have nothing bad to say, but I don't have anything to say either.
I think there was more to talk about the first 2 weeks. Like, the first week was the first episode, so you kind of speculate and talk about all the first episode things. And episode 2 was pretty interesting with all the stuff it raised, but now it's kind of getting into its little filler stride, at least so far. But it's not really bad or anything. It's just kind of, you know, Sentai.
So, is it about that guy?
Yep. I'm so proud.
I used that joke.
You don't even know how proud I am. Now I can stop drawing. Okay, so Gaim this week. I wrote this week on Gaim again. So a crack appears in the middle of a bridge, and Yggdrasil ropes the whole thing off, and they hope to stop the Invest from coming through so they don't have to blow up the city. They're like, well, we can blow up the city. We don't really want to, but it's an option. So they attempt to sort of defend it from both sides. Gaim sort of forms a truce with them to help them out. Michi connives to save his friends by taking them to an underground bunker, well, apparently a lot of people know about. And after helping them successfully stop the crack from being violated, I don't know why I put it that way, Gaim steals the Peach energy lock and runs off into the base where he and Zangetsu fight. Zangetsu? That's a different Zangetsu named Zack. Him and Zangetsu fight until Zangetsu shows him the footage of him killing his friend, and then he falls to his knees and it ends. So yeah, this was a pretty good episode. I liked it. where do I start? Well, we found out that, you know, Cid wasn't just messing with him. That whole blow up the city thing is a real thing. And the plan is to, essentially, the reason they're so okay with sacrificing people is the plan is to essentially whittle down the population to like 1 million people that can all have Sengoku drivers or Genesis drivers or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's definitely some extreme League of Assassins type of thinking. And Takatora is all okay with it. I was thinking last week, well, maybe Takatora doesn't know the full extent of everyone else's evil. Nope, he's on board.
I mean, I am the League of Assassins, so...
Oh, Michi's on board.
Yeah.
He mentioned Project Arc last week.
Yeah. Well, Michi's... Oh, man, Michi. I like how in every scene, like, when he's with Kota, and Kota's thinking, hey, I'm telling my sidekick about what's going on, and Michi's just sitting there like, God, this fucking idiot running his mouth again. Can't we not get this shit under control? I am wearing a purple scarf.
The scene where, they're in the forest, and Michi's, Kota tells Michi what to do or whatever, and Michi's like, kind of misleading him with information, and you can just see Ryoma standing behind Coda, just like giving this face, like he, everyone around him knows that Michi is lying to him, but Coda's kind of the odd man out who still doesn't get it.
Yeah. go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, it's funny, when he left, when he said, it looks like you guys have this under control, when he left to go take his friends to that underground bunker, I thought he was going to follow Kaito, because he seemed kind of interested to see what he was doing. I thought that's what he was going to do.
I really like the scene. Well, I like a lot of scenes in this week's episode, but I really like the scene where Ryoma is explaining what they're going to do. And Coda's just like, you can't let that many people die. And Ryoma's just like, let? No, no, no. See, they're all going to become invests. If we let them do anything, they're going to become a hazard to everyone who's going to survive. That's why we're going to slowly dwindle the Earth's population over the next 10 years.
That's so disturbing. He's like, check out the stock footage of famine. He had it pulled up on the computer. Look, syringes. Isn't it terrifying?
Like, I had kind of little chills when he was explaining it, because he's like, we're going to be actively killing people over the next 10 years to get the population down to a seventh of what it is. And the way he's describing it, it's like they've got stock in pharmaceuticals and all of this other stuff. They can kill people, just make it look like an accident. Oh, maybe that person got the wrong pills, or, you know, they... It's crazy.
Yeah, oh, man, like, that drug was defective. Oops.
Yeah.
They could. I thought that they were just going to essentially let everything overrun, and then whoever wins the fights was going to be the survivors, but they're talking about doing it in a much more... It sounds really cruel to say that, but in a much more efficient manner, so they don't have to worry about so much chaos. And it's kind of crazy, because typically in these shows, with Rider or Sentai or whatever, it seems so self-contained to that city. Like, there's times where, like, the whole world is in danger, or they'll mention it, but it's, you never really think about the whole world a lot of the time. It's always so much about that certain city. And in this sense, I mean, it's a lot about the city, but when he brings this all up, it's like, it really makes it global.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with doing that to the entire population of the world. I'm fine with it.
Kevin's essentially Kaito with glasses.
Well, I'm sorry, people are stupid and deserve what they get. That's my motto. Especially Dawson.
And this kind of... I don't know if it fully explains it, but this kind of gives a little more info towards what Takatora might have been talking about last week, where he said he had, he had some reserves over the decisions that he made, and we kind of know what decisions he's made now. And speaking of which, I really love the ending scenes.
Yeah, where, I like that it was him that sort of told Kota about it, and it wasn't Michi or some kind of accidental discovery.
But I love that they're having this big argument about, you know, the ethics of this decision, whether or not it's right or wrong to do all of this. And, you know, Takatora's side is that they can give a few people hope via the sacrifice that they're making. And Coda's like, I think he said something along the lines of, what good is hope if it comes at a sacrifice? And then it all comes to a head where Takatora says, you already stand here on lives sacrificed. And I love that. And then he just proceeds to show him Yuya's death.
Yeah, because that was his whole beginning as Gaim.
Yeah. And you pretty much see it in Coda's eyes and his expression. He breaks. Like, he's almost emotionless.
Yeah.
He's just, and I, I love the lines at the end where Takatora is just saying, you found hope from the sacrifice of your former friend. You can either abandon that and fall into despair, giving up on all of the people and all of the hope that you've given and all of the lives that you've saved because of that sacrifice.
And the real twist was when Coda started cracking and turning into a phantom. I was like, what? I didn't see that coming. I was like, what? Crossover. But yeah, that was a great scene, because it really did, you know, boil the whole larger issue down to that moment that where, you know, he killed his friend and essentially, without knowing it, made the decision that Takatora is making, and he essentially has been making it over and over again, considering all the investor people except for the rat ones. And it's just so. It's just also such a powerful scene because, you know, that whole fight is like the foundation that started everything Kota is now. That first battle.
Yeah.
And it sort of shakes his
confidence. It's just like Takatora said, that whole thing kind of gave Kota hope. It gave him this sort of purpose. And, you know, that's what he's built the past few months of his life on is, you know, becoming a writer, and here it is, he's sacrificed his friend.
Sorry.
Ruin a serious moment, Ryan. No, I'm just kidding. You see the scene. You sacrificed your friend, Brian, in the background. Sorry. I didn't want to say anything. It was really awkward. Everyone else left, but I was just here.
I really like this clash of ethics because
controversial science fiction issues.
To a certain point, it doesn't even feel like anyone's in the right anymore, because obviously Coda's killed one of his past friends. He didn't know about it, but
yeah,
no one is in the right in this show, really,
except for Ryan on Tokyuger. You know, that's what also I was thinking, is that what I love about the show is that even if I don't agree with the character, I can see everyone's point of view.
Yeah.
Like, I think Kota has the higher ground because he wants to save everyone, but Yggdrasil's going about it in a very, very destructive way, but they're trying to save people.
Yeah.
And the right now, they have the means to do it. They have this huge organization that has the means to save somebody, and Kota's just the one guy, because the only other person that he thinks is his ally isn't. And Kaito's doing God knows what, filming Survivor Man in Helheim.
Like, you compare it to some of the passive villains we have, and, you know, sometimes they have such arbitrary reasons for why they do things, and sometimes it's just pure evil, you know, we're just here to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
But with Yggdrasil, it's like you said, you can see their reasoning, you can
see
their
point. They're not even really villains.
Yeah, like, no one in the show thinks they're doing something wrong. Well, they acknowledge that they are doing something wrong by sacrificing these people, but they all think that they're in the right. They all think that they are doing what needs to be done.
Do what must be done. Do not hesitate. Show no mercy.
That's basically their motto.
But yeah, it does seem kind of hopeless from Coda's angle because, like I said, he's just the one guy compared to them, and now he's kind of found out that he killed his friend and he's been killing people. Well, I guess he's known he's been killing people. Well, what used to be people. They're obviously going to have to get over that, or there's not going to be a show.
You do definitely get that sense of everything's against Coda.
Yeah.
Because he really is kind of the only one in the middle of all this who knows what's going on, who is like, guys, this is fucked up. We probably shouldn't be doing this.
Well, you know, because Yggdrasil is this huge corporation and they're trying to save 1 million people, and Kota's just one dude trying to save all of them.
Yeah.
That's so overwhelming. It's like, what's his plan?
And,
fuck shit up.
Like, I know that some people probably don't like that Coda is like the only guy, and everyone else around him is essentially an asshole. But I do like it's this sort of underdog story kind of thing, you know? He's the one guy trying to do good. I really like what they're doing with the series. It's fantastic.
It's crazy.
And I like that because I know for a lot of people it's kind of almost gotten annoying. Not entirely, but the whole Yuya thing. Like, we've known for a while what's happened to Yuya, and it was just a matter of time to get to Coda finding out. And I like that we didn't wait that long. When you think about it, we've waited maybe 4 or 5 episodes, and
and the reveal was done right. And you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, Gaim is like a little over halfway through, or almost halfway through, depending on how many we get. But it seems like it's been like a year with how much Kota and everybody has changed, except for Takator. He's pretty much been the same. We just found out more about him. But it's just, usually you see that sort of transformation within the year of the series.
And also just how much stuff has gone on.
I think the only person's... sorry, go ahead.
Well, just, there's been so much stuff going on. Like, we normally don't get this much stuff happening in a writer's show. This, like, in the first half. Like, it normally takes the entire series to get this much shit happen.
This is all the kind of stuff that gets barfed out at the end in, like, the last 10 episodes.
last, like, 4.
Yeah, I was gonna say last 10 if we're lucky.
If you're Forza, it's the last 2.
I think the only person's motives I understand is Bravo's. Oh, the beat writers! I still love when they were mocking him. he still hasn't been around. It's been pleasant. I'm still waiting for Greedon to be important.
Yeah.
How the Kurokage troopers get more screen time?
I think it was Magenta say that the last time Greedon transformed was, I believe, like, before Hase died.
Yeah, I think it was the beat writer battle when they were all in the forest.
Oh. When...
I love you.
Thank you.
I love you, baby.
Mwah.
Not you.
It was perfectly timed with Brian.
Damn it.
Brian said, love you, and then Brian said, Kevin said, I love you, baby. Well, this is going to put a damper on the carousel pairing. Crying just isn't going to go over as well.
What happens when Brian and Kevin get together? Crying.
This sounds more depressing than Bevan.
So I don't know why, but when I saw Kaido sort of laying boxes around, he's just kind of walking through a forest.
You got a job as down a boxes.
For some reason, and this is total speculation, I thought maybe he was baiting them, like the invests. Because he's clearly searching for the humanoid one, but
yeah,
I'm not entirely sure.
At first I thought he was like fucking
placing bombs,
like, yeah, like trying to make sure that he could get back. But I'm like, why would you mark it with these giant white bricks?
That'd be funny. His breadcrumbs are just bricks. Well, better be safe than sorry.
I don't know what he's up to. I mean, we know what he's up to. I don't know what the boxes were, but it's a good thought.
Think about how confusing it is for Kota. Like, the last time he saw him, they were essentially on the same side to go break into Yggdrasil, and then they got separated, and now the next time he sees him, he's just, like, carrying around a Santa sack of boxes.
he knows everything. He has boxes, and he's on an adventure.
He knew more. So
like, yeah, they're gonna destroy everything. You knew?
God, you're so late.
Yeah, I found that out like last week, man. Come on.
And it's a little crazy that they were willing to destroy the entire city just because one invest got through. Yeah. Like, I understand, but still, it's a little extreme.
You know, they had people on the other side, so it's like, if they could have gotten it on the, if it would have got out and they could have killed it, it would have been fine. I mean, if it would have went, you know, further out, more of them would have got out and they couldn't contain it. But even so, the area was blocked off, so they theoretically still could have framed the beat riders.
Why don't they just put Kaito's bricks over it?
Why didn't they just put newspaper over it?
Put a big slab of concrete over it. And
has anyone ever thought about just grabbing the zipper and closing it? Is that how zippers work? Oh no, a crack. Never mind, there you go.
But yeah, Guy was really good this week. I joked around on Twitter saying that we wouldn't be talking about it this week.
When you said that, I was like, oh my god, a lot of stuff must have happened.
Dawson knew.
I knew. Oh, it's so good.
Like, it shouldn't be this enjoyable.
We wanted Ryder to get better, but this is almost too much better. They could have, like, eased us into it.
Like, the poor next show. The show after this is just going to be awful.
You know, even just with better shows, I'm not used to looking forward to it, like, this much as, like, some, like, primetime shows I watch where, like, it's a continuous plot and I'm like, oh man, I can hardly wait till next week. I'm not used to having it so steadily with a toku show.
I am curious to see whether or not they keep the same sort of structure next year, or whether or not they revert back.
I can't imagine them doing that, just because, I mean, obviously we can't know everything that's going on behind the scenes, but it seemed like they acknowledged that they were in a bit of a rut, because based on that interview, it said that they specifically asked him to go in a certain direction. I kind of hope that they just every year kind of do it like they used to before Double, where they just had a relatively different format every year.
It's funny because he is very much writing a drama. It happens to have superpowers and crazy alien things. But a lot of the, like, meat of it comes from the drama between characters and the mystery and stuff like that. I thought that's interesting.
I thought it was a good example of what we talked about last week with the conversations being more interesting. The fact that Gaim and Zangetsu were fighting, and then the most interesting part of their interaction was when they detransformed and talked. Like, you know what? Let's stop this fighting. It's boring. Let's have a conversation. We're like, fuck yeah! Talk the shit out of that! Yeah, I hope that over the next few years, Ryder continues using the same format as now, or the old times where it was more of a cohesive plot and not so much episodic mystery of the week stuff. But I hope they don't find a new mold and stick to it for 4 years like they did before. Mm-hmm. Gaim seems to be doing very well toy-wise.
Absolutely. I can't get half the fucking toys.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I can't stop myself.
Yeah, I mentioned that on Twitter earlier. I remember when I could actually get things from AmiAmi.
I haven't bought toys for myself in like over a year. Except for like the Mandarake purchases. I've bought like 90% of my AC figures on Mandarake.
Yeah, this is getting really ridiculous.
It is it's pretty annoying. Got the Tokyuger stuff. I mean, except for Tobespino still, but I've just finished the bulk of my Kyuger collection.
Like, I'm kind of looking at Hobby Search to see if they put anything up, but if they don't, I'm considering just biting the bullet and going for CS Toys. Because I don't think I'm going to get any of this crap on AmiAmi.
For which thing?
Everything that came out this week.
Yeah.
Especially if I don't want to pay retail for the DJ gun, like the most incredible thing in the universe.
Is it really that good? I don't know. I didn't look.
It's like seriously the greatest weapon. It makes like this cool song and stuff. Yeah.
Song.
Anyway, I really need water or something, and it's all the way on the other side of the room. And now it's time for Super Mega Force Summaries for Shuki. Me.
Super. 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 Wait, no, wait. Is this...
You get so flustered.
Did I stutter? Didn't even make sense.
All right, so...
Did you write a summary this week?
Hell no.
Sorry, insulted you.
So we're just kind of going to go straight into this, going from memory. And that's awful, because my memory is...
What did you find?
I found Skull by Marie. It was cool. So anyway, Jake and Noah are at the supermarket, and they're like, "Oh shit, it's a motorcycle!" And then all of a sudden, there's G, and he's like, "Jaden, Jaden, Jaden," and that translates in G speak to, "This is my motorcycle. Bye." And so then he rides off, and they're like, "Dude, that was Mentor G from the Samurai Rangers." Wow, and
I feel that I saw it on Nickelodeon after I carved.
Some stuff happens, and then the Wrecker's like, "You guys all suck. I'm gonna go down myself with this Manticore guy. It'll be really fun." And so they all go down, and he's like, "I'm the prince, and I'm gonna fuck your shit up," and. They arrive and they make fun of him for not being threatening at all because he's a villain from Gokaiger. And
they actually said that too.
Yeah, I know, that was the actual dialogue. And so they transform, I think, to the Super Mega Force. I don't remember.
Yeah, they went.
And they went MMPR? And then they're
like, "Let's take it to the next level." Yeah, yeah, they went MMPR.
So they went MMPR and they fought some, and then they went Lost Galaxy. And fought
Lost Galaxy.
Was this where Blitz happened, or was that later?
That was later.
Okay.
That was after they met Jaden. Spoiler alert.
Alright, so, and they attack, Noah attacks Wrecker, and he's like, "Oh my god, pain so painful, take me away." So, they...
Oh my god, pain is so painful.
That was the line, like, for real.
I don't remember that. I watched it like an hour ago.
He goes back up to the ship, and they're making fun of him for being awful. And so they're like, "Oh, man, of course, so tough." And then they're at Ernie's, and then all of a sudden, bam, there's Jaden. He's like, "Something about instincts. Never give up. Trust your instincts." Like, "Oh, thanks, Jaden Puppy.
Never give up. Never surrender."
Oh. So... And like,
"Our Megazord was a model as big as this."
You're a dumbass.
He does kind of look like a Thermian.
Oh my god.
Like, "Oh my god, it's Jaden from the Samurai Rangers. You're a legend from last year." And so Jaden vanishes. He didn't even get to eat his froyo. He just left.
He's actually just ducking under the counter.
I could see that being the case. That would be so funny.
So, Manticore attacks again, and then they split up. Blue wasn't in this fight scene, so he just kind of runs off somewhere.
Yeah, they go to the bathroom.
Red goes...
Blue has IBS. He was in the bathroom.
He ends up overdrive with Ninja Storm. He goes, new powers, and then overdrive... And then Ninja Storm. And then we cut to Yellow.
Sure.
I think. And she goes.
Blitz.
She goes Mask Man.
She starts with Blitz. She goes Blitz new powers, Mask Man. And then In Space, and then Dino Thunder. And Pink
power up
goes... What was the first one?
Was the first one Pink Flash?
I thought that was the second one for some reason.
Might have been.
I think it was first.
Whatever. Well, she goes Flash Man, which we don't really have a creative name for. People were calling it, bet you didn't see that coming, new powers.
that's what she said when she transformed.
So that
bet
happens.
You didn't see that coming.
And we just take whatever the line was when they transformed and use that as the title for the team. So that's Flashman now. And then ends up in Time Force Pink, and then Green just goes Zio, and that's it. We just cut his live man change out, which I don't know why we cut his and didn't cut the girls, but whatever. They didn't care enough about the girls to notice that they went to powers that were
hashtag sexism.
and then so they regroup. Blue is just normal Megaforce for some reason. He like lowered his power so that they could all go back to super mode. And here's where they go. They go straight to Samurai, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Samurai, they do tribute. Samurai stuff, and they beat him, and they're like, "Oh,
we gotta do this for Jaden."
Yeah, Jaden's too cool. So they go to the wild, legendary wild.
Well, he does
force,
like Korra,
and they can't. That is true. They can't beat him. They're like, "What are we gonna do?" And then Jaden and G are on motorcycles, just watching. Like, they're not doing anything, they're just watching. Like, I think they need more of our help, Jaden. And they're like, okay. And then so the keys pop up and they glow and they're like, our samurai friends gave us more power. Then they form the legendary Samurai Megazord, which probably would have been an actual name for a samurai combination, but anyway. they beat him, and that's all I care about. So they won, and then it ended.
And then Gia wanted to meet Jaden because he was hot, and that's sexist. Oh. Girls aren't allowed to be attracted to guys. That's sexist. God, can't even believe it.
Oh, I love this fandom.
It's so great. It's like, oh, come on now. She's complaining. Gia has long hair. Sexism. What? I think people are just saying stuff.
But I actually like the episode. I mean... ignoring the fact that the new powers, just kind of got out a little out of hand. ignoring that, I thought it was well paced. It was another episode written by Jason Smith, so his writing style always kind of seems a little bit more normal to me in terms of dialogue. So I enjoyed it for the most part. The cameo wasn't overdone.
Well, Jason Smith knows how human beings talk, so
that's true. It wasn't like in your face cameo all the time to where it overshadowed everything else. It was just about probably a minute total, maybe.
I bet little kids flip the shit.
Probably.
Because he's like, they're Jason.
Like, they probably flipped the shit to the level of us flipping the shit when Adam came back in space. It was probably something vaguely similar to that.
Yeah, but Adam is so much more cooler than Jaden.
Yeah, Adam's cooler than
he's not a
people.
Zombie.
I forgot about that bit. But yeah, I thought it was a really decent episode. I really enjoyed it. Jaden's cameo was well done. I liked that they had G in it. It was a nice surprise. I kind of hope that means there's maybe a few other surprises sprinkled in.
Yeah, that would be nice. I actually didn't mind having Jaden in it.
And, so. You know, I really don't have a problem with the new powers thing.
I don't either. I
think it's really confusing because I could definitely see them doing it as a way of saving time to not edit, but then they do edit some parts. So it's just kind of confusing, and regardless of their reasons, people are like, well, they clearly didn't do it to expand the universe. Even if that's not their intention, it kind of does in a way, and I like that it allows me to sort of imagine other teams on other worlds, even if that's not their intention at all. I think it's kind of a fun addition. I'm just confused about why they do it. It's not necessarily a complaint, it's more just a curiosity because of the selective editing, and like, people will say that's lazy, but... they edited out the other ones, not to, and also the episodes that have the new powers in them tend to have the most original footage, which I think is funny. Because this one had several original fights. We had, I think, a civilian fight and then two. They were kind of brief, but we had two original regular Megaforce suit fights. So I think it's funny that people be like, oh, that's just lazy. I'm like, well, they filmed a lot of footage for this episode.
Like, it's not lazy, it's just weird. And like you said, I'd rather they didn't do it, but since they are, just have fun with it. There's no point in going, oh, why'd they do this? They suck. I hate them. Just accept it, have fun with it, and take it as it is. It's expand it however you want to. PR is a thing where it's a children's show that gets very little outside world building. So, in fact, it really gets no outside world building. Like, something like Avatar does or something like that. Just take it for what it is, roll with it, build your own headcanon, I don't care.
It's unintentionally inexpensive.
I want a headcanon.
Have fun. Headcanons are amazing.
I saw somebody on Facebook Rangers, I have no idea who it was, but they said that you know, it makes sense there's other Rangers because of something Astronomer said about how her and Andros grew up wanting to be Power Rangers. So yeah. It makes sense that they've expanded beyond Earth. I don't know why everyone has to tie it back to Zordon. They're like, you think Zordon made it? I'm like, you know, I don't think he invented Power Rangers. wasn't there... I lost my train of thought now. Damn it. Something about new powers. Oh, in the Dino Thunder episode where Tommy had, like, the history of Power Rangers or whatever.
Yeah.
When he was going over, when he started, didn't he say that Mighty Morphin was Earth's first Power Rangers?
Yeah, as far as I know, that's what he said.
So I'm just saying. But I think people are blowing it way out of proportion.
People are holding really true to this theory. But so far, excuse me, so far they've used teams that have had their logos in Tommy's base in Dino Thunder. And so people are really latching on to that. Well, it means they existed and Tommy knew about them and they're actually part of PR Legend before. The instant they use one that wasn't in there,
yeah, that
theory goes out the window.
That's what I said. I said, yeah, that holds water until next week when they go, like, Battle Fever or something.
However, I mean, if that holds true at the end of the show, then go for it. I don't care. It makes sense enough. It doesn't explain why they cut Green's green side change, since the Live Man logo was in Dino Thunder. But
yeah,
it all comes down to editing for time too. So
I've seen several people say, "What are those suits doing in there? They don't belong there. Those suits are from Sentai." I'm like, realize that the Gokaiger and Ghost Ager suits are also from Sentai.
You realize it's everything's all, from Sentai, right?
Yeah, it's like once it touches ground here, it's now Power Rangers. Just saying.
Titanium, Elephant, Shark, and Bat are the only thing that you could say that wasn't from Sentai.
Yeah, because I'm like, pay attention, that's from Sentai, it doesn't belong here. I'm like, none of it. I mean, once it touches ground, that was no longer a mask or a flash or whatever, it was just a random Power Ranger. Or earrings.
Both new powers.
You know, people keep demanding explanations. I think the most I would want is a name. I think it would be fun if they named them. Just, I would want to name
them. Yeah, like, even if it's not in the show, have some sort of, like, on a website.
It gives them something to say. It gives them something to say, because they say all the other morphing calls and powers or whatever, so it seems awkward. Like, even they feel awkward about it.
Apparently, so, new powers, morph calls, it's morphin' time. That's what Troy said.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be nice to get a name, but beyond that, I don't think there needs to be anything else. People are like, I demand an explanation. I'm like, what are you expecting? Like, when they transform, are they just going to turn to the camera and be like, would you like to know more about me? And then all of a sudden they just start, like, giving you a history. It's like, I think a name is all that's required. I don't think we need... they just want an episode that's nothing but exposition in which they tell us about all the new powers and why Jake is green. I don't think it's going to happen. It would be awkward if it did.
But we deserve it. Just like we deserve to go character. Perfect
logical explanation for that.
Are they ever going to address that they're pirates? I think at this point it would be more awkward now if they addressed it.
Hey, man, why are we pirates? You realize it's episode 6, right? have 14 more... Or not even 14 more episodes. Yeah, 14. I can't count, fuck this.
Brian can't count, Dawson can't read. We're all retards here.
But, yeah, I mean... Well, I brought it up before, but they never really addressed the dinosaur theme in MMPR, especially after they became dinosaur ninjas. But if they're not going to make a thing out of it, I don't think they ever would. Like, it would seem out of place if they all of a sudden just wrote in an explanation. Oh, Power Rangers. But I'm really looking forward to next week, because it's Casey's episode.
Yeah, that automatically makes it win. He gets to rake up shit.
I think that's just very telling about the state of PR at this point. That our preview clip is Casey raking shit. But I've been looking forward to that episode in a lot of ways more than the Legend War episode. So I'm just looking forward to seeing him and seeing how much he's involved. See, that's the kind of explanations I want. I'm curious how he got there, because wasn't he like now an instructor at the Paishwa Academy?
Yeah, he got bored. He's on a sabbatical.
This is day job.
He's taking a vacation.
Someone said he might be working there to watch the Rangers.
Maybe. I'm kind of curious how the Legend War episode is going to turn out now, though, because there have been a few surprises, and they put a little more effort into some of the cameos than I thought they would. So I'm kind of curious, especially with all those, like, sort of wreckage scenes we've seen in people's behind-the-scenes photos. Mm-hmm. Just curious how that goes, because the way they made it seem, based on, like, all the actors that were saying they weren't going to come back, they made it seem like they literally just took off their helmets and that was the only scene. So I'm kind of curious now that there's some sort of unknown stuff to us, how that actually went.
I'd like if there was some stuff that was unknown to us.
Like Spencer cameo?
That would be awesome, oh my god.
I also want to point out what dicks Power Rangers are, like the veterans. Like, they just stand back and watch and let the one team of five handle it. When they, like, could easily...
It worked for Gokaiger. There's no explanation here.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, we're just going to watch, whatever. I mean, that's kind of the setup for every year, which is, I think, might be part of, other than, writing freedom, is a good reason why Sentai just has a self-contained universe outside of Gokaiger's, because then you don't have to think, hey, why aren't they helping?
They're just really bad on news. They don't know.
Rangers
they're like the people on my Ask FM that don't know Kiwami Arms exists.
Rangers are like the only heroes that get to like finish their job in a year. Meanwhile, like everyone, like Batman and Spider-Man, are just like constantly going still. There is no final battle.
Yeah, well, that's how Japan is, man.
They have final battles.
Vagina, you know, just vagina.
That pretty much sums it up.
Take it away, yes. And now it's time for Rainbow.
Rainbow, Rainbow, Rainbow time.
Why is there a combination of exhaustion and ultimate echo echo?
That was amazing.
Brian sounded like he'd been drugged, and Kevin sounded like he was in an auditorium.
Because I love your mother. I love your mother.
This is kind of cool, actually. It's sad that this is the things that amuse us.
A lot of things amuse Brian.
Like, are you in the bathroom?
Yes.
Ha ha! We found your master plan.
He's got a huge bathroom.
So anyway, now that we have Echo in the
bathroom. I wish I had a huge bathroom. It's probably echoing because of the shower.
You're in the shower, or...?
No, I'm just... Oh. But there's a shower in my bathroom, so it's probably causing it to echo more. Douchebag.
Awesome. Let's talk about Pokemon. So this was an episode. There, I covered all of your parts. So how about Ben 10?
There was Animo crackers in my soup. Monkeys and rabbits loop-de-loop. Now she's dead. I actually really liked Ben 10 this week. I'm not really a huge fan of Animo, but I liked seeing the return of Ben 10,000 Animo. And I loved the idea of Ben using his future knowledge to find the name for his new alien. I thought that was pretty funny.
Okay, wait, so we totally just skip Pokemon? That's a thing?
There's not much to really say. We'll say, there is a battle, and then Silas and Iron, oh, Dawson, you're so stupid. So now I'm just wasting time explaining it.
Okay, no, I'm just checking. All right, good. Sounds good.
I don't remember what it was about anyway.
Silas, or damn it, what was his name? Clyde. Clyde.
Clembot or something.
Oh, yeah, they had a battle at the gym.
His father is a terrible parent, because he didn't notice that his son went on a journey for, like, several days to weeks. We don't know how long they've been traveling.
A while.
Man, you've been at Target forever. I sent you out to get that APOM arm, and you haven't come back.
So, back to Ben 10.
Yeah. I've never been too big of a fan of Animo, but I actually found him really amusing in this episode. I like the banter that he has with himself.
Is he... Is he voiced by the dude that was the dad in the Wild Thornberries?
No, that was Tim Curry.
Oh. You're Tim Curry.
But I wouldn't pay for Tim Curry.
Either Tim Curry or somebody that sounds like him voices the Emperor in the Clone Wars now, and it's really weird. Well, not anymore now. The show's canceled. That's probably why it was canceled.
Well, it was Tim Curry at the end of season 5, I'm pretty
sure. And 6.
Well, I didn't see 6 yet. But I know, it definitely was Tim Curry in season 5.
It's really weird. But anyway,
Echo.
I kind of dig Gutrot, just because I like that he's got a different power we haven't really seen before.
I loved Gutrot. He was farting. That was
for some reason really cool.
I thought his power was going to be just some sort of derivative of, like, atomics or some other energy shooter, except he shot from his stomach, but I liked that it was different. And like I said, I really liked the way that he found the name. He was like, you know what, can you save me some time? What did I name this guy?
He's sort of like Firestorm in the sense that he combines different elements together to lead to a result. I like it. I like his voice and his sort of overall attitude too. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a like him really, really fast.
I love everything about this season of Ben 10 so far. It's been really good.
I was glad that it wasn't just like a quick, oh, here's a new alien, oh, there he goes. Like, we actually got a pretty substantial amount of time with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of an intro for him. I also liked Rook's, like, constant theme throughout the episode being romantic comedies. And, like, trying to understand them or, like, relating the situation to it. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Rook is hilarious. Oh, shit. Dr. Animo is Dwight Schultz. I should have recognized that.
Dwight Schrute?
Dwight? What? Dwight Schultz. He's,
Bears always, Battlestar Galactica.
He's always been Dr. Animo, but he was the squirrel and cat dog. He was in the A-Team, and he was in Star Trek.
He's also in The Office. It's Dwight Schrute. That makes sense because of his elfish features. What was I going to say? Oh, and then there was that mysterious future guy.
Yeah, not Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's going to tie into the upcoming story with all the Ben timelines. I think I answered this on AskFM, but there's a part of me that thinks he might just be a version of Ben because there's just so many versions of him. He's a version of Ben that became Robin.
Maybe he might have been like Ken or... I don't know. I wasn't entirely sure he was, you know, Ben. But
yeah, I don't want to cross that possibility out because I never thought that Eon would have been Ben.
Maybe he was that kid that idolized Ben, and he's just a little grown up now, so he's trying to help.
I feel like he's somehow related to Ben, and not necessarily like by blood, but I mean in terms of in the future, considering his color scheme and whatnot. But I'm pretty sure that's going to be because of the storyline. I'm not sure how many episodes we have before it, but I think that's like the finale of this arc is that whole all Bens from all time thing. We're going to see the return of Deeper Ben and probably Ben 10,000, maybe some others, I don't know.
So what you're saying is that the name Omniverse will actually come into effect.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Oh, I forgot to mention, they had the return of those, like, paranormal agent guys, which we haven't really seen since the first series that I recall. They were around a couple times during the first series.
I had no idea. Oh, what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't either. I kind of forgot.
The last time I remember seeing them was like in the dream sequence. It was like an episode where somebody had Ben strapped into something, and he was in a dream, and he kept like running into people in the dream, and they were in that dream, and there was like a version of Kevin in it. But they were only in the original series a couple times, and when I saw them, I was just thinking, I like how Omniverse has done a pretty good job of making use of pretty much all the characters from all the various series.
Mm-hmm.
Though, for how much Kid Ben is in the opening theme,
he's not in the show at all.
They haven't really utilized that timeline all that much. No, not timeline, but that time all that much.
Yeah. Because when it started up, we had that sort of shifting back and forth between the two, and now it's pretty much stayed with older Ben.
Yeah, like the most we'll get is we'll be like, oh, I remember when that happened. We'll cut to like a 3-second clip of Ben like brushing his teeth when he was 11 or something. I kind of hope that like the next arc or something involves, well, it's possible we could get Kid Ben somehow showing up in the All Ben's thing, but it'd be nice if in the next arc or so that they have some sort of parallel storyline, maybe having it relate to the past, or even just having a different storyline that's unrelated to what's happening now, but just still running alongside it, because that was part of the reason that they brought him, Kid Ben, back, is because he was still the most popular version of Ben at the time. So, yeah, I was kind of hoping that they would keep it running and it would just essentially fill the whole gap between the original series and Omniverse.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to happen. And I wanted to know why he took it off, because when he took it off, it seemed so out of character.
Yeah. He was enjoying being a hero, and he came back and was like, I took the Omnitrix off, guys.
I wanted to play soccer. Well, you suck. Why are you playing soccer? What is this, an episode of Digimon Adventure 2? You don't even have the right music for that.
Soccer's for homos.
Let's pick it up, bitch.
Let's kick it up together.
Together.
Classic. Rangers together.
Kick it up forever.
Kick it up. Kick it up. That's actually Flashman's name. Power Rangers, kick it up. Kick it up, new powers.
Let's see. Since I missed the past couple of weeks, I'd just like to take a moment to say that I enjoyed watching him name Blitzwolfer on the spur of the moment while watching CNN. That was fantastic.
Our running joke turned canon.
Yeah, pretty much. The Forever Knights, yeah, they're the thing. The entire Bill Gax incident, that was awesome. I almost died laughing, especially having Pac-Mar, because every time I see him, I'm like, something hilarious is about to go down. And Siphon, yeah, just trying to be a plumber. I think that episode was funnier to me than it probably would have been if I didn't work for an actual plumber. And watching him try to do this and figure out what the hell he's doing, I'm like, yeah, you are completely not cut out for this. And then, of course, the one before that with all of the Darkstar and Will Wheaton. I love Will Wheaton.
Oh, yeah, that's the one where you got in an argument with Aerosol.
I got an argument with Aerosol, apparently,
via text message.
I didn't even know about it until later. Like,
that was fun.
Like, it's funny because I'm watching and I was like 3 seconds in and I said, like, hey, it's Wesley Crusher's jacket. Or, you know, it's a sweater. And I'm like, oh, it's Will Wheaton. Because I actually remember him putting up something about on Twitter about, like, doing voice work. And I didn't kind of put the two together until I saw it. And Ghost Freak. Yeah, Ghost Freak's kind of cool.
I think this is a new segment every fourth week called Kevin's Catch Up.
Kevin's Catch Up!
Except Catch Up is spelled with a K.
I can't really do a catch up on Pokemon because it's like, well, those were 4 episodes. They were all things.
I prefer Kevin's Cats Up.
That's funny. I think all of the people he thinks are Vilgax should team up in one episode. I think that would be hilarious. Like, they all just show up at one time.
Can you imagine them all standing next to each other? Oh my god.
Be like a Toku team up. Just my head would explode. They're all standing next to each other at one time. Now I don't have to imagine it in my brain. All I know is, yeah, this is a really fun arc. I'm enjoying it a lot. Also, Dawson likes donkey balls. I just wanted to throw that in with my echo.
Speaking of donkey balls, should we move on to TMNT?
Seems like a logical segue.
Yes.
I really loved this episode. It was fantastic.
This is this was, what the fuck was this? This was the Wormquake. That was awesome. Like, I'm making sure that was in fact this week.
Splinter had one of the funniest lines he's had in a while. He's had a couple in this episode, actually. But one was, there's a saying in Japan, talk too much and you get a face full of nunchaku. And Leo's just like, is that really a saying in Japan? It would be if you were there.
I loved that. That was fantastic. But I really liked the thing with Karai, where, like, you know, they just out him as, like, being her dad. And at first she's like, no, there's no fucking way that dude is my dad. But then by the end you kind of see, like, her starting to doubt whether or not, you know, Shredder actually could be her dad. And if maybe they're actually telling me the truth.
Like, for some reason, I thought you were going to say a funny line Karai said. Because you're like, what I actually liked. I thought for some reason it was going to be a line. It just seemed like such a funny segue. Anyway.
Oh, no. I just enjoy that. I just want to see, like, all of a sudden her just go batshit crazy on Shredder. And then Tiger Claw was awesome. Had no tail. They started making jokes about his tail.
This episode reminded me a lot of the season one finale for the fact that it split evenly between the Krang and Shredder.
Yeah. Like, I really enjoy that. Like, the, that they're, you know, got all these different things going on, and they balanced it pretty well. I missed the end. My DVR cut off before the end, like when they cut to the 87 turtles, and they're sitting on, also, like, they're sitting on a rooftop, and they start to eat pizza, and then my thing cut off. I was like, son of a bitch.
After that, they were all brutally murdered by the killer from Aerosol's Neighborhood. It was pretty crazy. I'm like, how'd they even get that character? Can't believe you missed it. They're never going to air it again now. They deleted all records of it, so it's gone.
That's good.
I do like that the 80s cameo was just a cameo. Like, it
yeah.
was a small little thing.
When I first heard about it, I thought it was going to be like them traveling to each other's worlds and talking to each other and doing annoying stuff.
That's what I thought
stuff.
It was going to be, too.
But I'm glad it was just like them looking into that window and then the little thing at the end.
Although I kind of think it would have been funny if they had, like, gone there or something, and you would have ended up with, like, Donnie, like, new Donnie and old Raph arguing or something, because it would have been the same guy arguing with himself. I think it would confuse the kids, though.
They did have a couple of lines at the end, and you can definitely tell that's the same guy. The exact same fucking voice.
Yeah, oh yeah. I just mean, like, if they would have argued with, like, talked to each other back and forth and just really confused everyone.
But yeah, like you guys were saying, they actually balanced it pretty well. Not only between the villains, but also between the two groups that they split our main characters up in, which you can kind of do a little more effectively now that we have Casey.
Yeah. And Karai was so pissed off. She got replaced by a cat. That was funny. But I like how we saw where the mutagen comes from, and it's like
worm milk.
Worm.
Not warm, like, milk, but
it's like Slurm from fucking Futurama. It's like the first thing I thought of when I saw that. I was like, ew. Now Fry's gonna drink it.
Because of how much the season has kind of been broken up because of how it's been airing. When Shredder came back, he looked at Razar and he's like, "Bradford, you look terrible." And it didn't occur to me right away that was the first time he had seen him, because Shredder's been gone this whole season.
Yeah, like, it was like, oh yeah, you're just now seeing him.
Or maybe he had seen him before off screen and he just had a terrible night's sleep. You don't know. He was tossing and turning all night. That skinny body. It's like sleeping on bones. Not the television show. That would be weird.
Yeah.
Chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp. Chirp, chirp, motherfucker.
And then the cheese phone was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
The most urgent importance or whatever he said.
Okay. The cheese phone. Must be important.
That was pretty great. But unfortunately, this is our last episode for a while. So that means ramble time will be like maybe one line about Pokemon and some Ben 10 discussion, if anything.
Oh, really? Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was the last episode for a while. I am really sad.
Neither did I. They didn't even say anything. They're clearly trying to kill the show. I knew they were trying to kill it the minute they renewed it for season 3 after the season 1 premiere. I was like,
fucking Nickelodeon trying to kill my show.
It is kind of on a weird air. Like, Nickelodeon, I have to say, in general, has really weird agreements with all their shows and schedules. Like, Power Rangers is sort of evenly split. Turtles airs randomly. And Salmon Cat also sort of airs randomly. I went on a rerun the other day, and it was like season 1, episode 29. You hardly ever see something like that. It's just like, what? Do they have any kind of plan? Or do they just put, like, random schedules to everything?
Yeah. Well, you know, and I know, didn't they, like, put out some kind of detail about what would be something about season 3? I saw, like, the Rocksteady and Bebop were going to be in it, and Usagi Yojimbo.
I didn't hear anything about any game developers joining the series, but...
You are a whore. I just want to point that out there.
Ubisoft season 4. Did you guys hear that Jack Tretton quit Sony? Who's going to hold their hands gingerly together at the press conferences this year? Who's going to do it? Oh, man.
Oh, man.
I was just now looking it up to see if anything was mentioned, but which it hasn't been. But we are about halfway through season 2 at this point. Because I think it's scheduled for 26 episodes, so This was sort of the halfway point.
I kind of feel like it might go on a hiatus for the majority of the summer-ish time, and maybe return closer to August, but with maybe a couple episodes sprinkled in, like, July or something. I think it did something weird like that before, where, like, it was mainly on a hiatus for a long time, but there was, like, maybe one or two episodes sprinkled. I can't remember. It's really strange. They need more shows during the summer.
Yeah, we don't got a whole lot during the summer.
We'll have Falling Skies to talk about during the summer.
We can talk about that if you want to. I mean,
Look at that 15 Loxy motherfucker.
I wish I had more to say about the Turtles episode. I did really enjoy it.
I like watching them ride the giant slug.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you. It leaves a trail of ooze behind it.
It was called Wormquake.
Motherfucker!
Did you notice that they had these weird baby faces on their tails?
Yeah!
I really didn't like that. I was kind of scared. It reminded me of the faces on the fruit and Gaim. And for some reason, I was just sad.
For some reason,
I forgot about the faces on the fruit and Gaim. Thanks, Dicklick!
I'm picturing, like, when that popped up on screen, you just cut to Brian, like, hiding his face in a blanket, saying, "I don't like that." Yeah, that was disturbing.
It's Brian sitting there. Mommy, protect me. I have a tiny penis.
Exactly how it went down.
Okay. That's what Brian would have said.
Alright, let's see here.
Don't believe we have anything else in Ramble Time. It's
no. Ramble Time.
Ever since Cartoon Network decided to kill half their schedule. I remember when this used to be, like, the busiest segment. There was, like, 5 shows to watch for it. It's, like, insane.
I remember, like, that's when we had Young Justice and Green Lantern on top of Pokemon and Turtles. And then we talked about Zexal. That was a thing. Oh, my God. So I'm still watching that show.
I listened to this podcast, and the host is obsessed with Zexal. He thinks it's like the best thing ever.
And he thinks it's better than 5Ds, which is ridiculous. Because 5Ds is the best.
I do think it's a little better than it was before. I think it's gotten better, but I wouldn't say it's necessarily good. Like right now, they've pulled that airship thing, or that thing that was inside the key.
Summon airship.
They pulled it out of the key that he wears on his neck, and so like they're riding around in it looking for the 7 Mytherian numbers.
Oh my god. First it was Baryon, and now Mytherian, next Caesarion.
They're trying to get him. Like, the Baryons are trying to get him, and then, like, it's really weird. Like, there's, like, this Baryon god that's taken over the Baryon that pretended to be Yuma's friend, who was the same one that had taken over Dr. Faker and Ventrix.
Ventrix.
And, so him and these other two Baryons, or whatever, and they're trying to find, like, then they got to find the other couple of Baryon emperors that are asleep, because they only got 5 of them, and there were 7 Baryon emperors. Like, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And, like, they made
sounds
this whole
like the
thing,
dumbest thing ever.
Like, Yuma had, like, this whole posse at one point. Like, he literally had, like, 7 dudes following him around. Now it's just, like, Astral, his bitch, Shark, and Shark's sister. Like, the other friends just got left
Piranha.
Behind.
Yes. Sorry.
Like, and then it's funny because the sister doesn't call him Shark. She just goes around calling him Reginald. So then he just sounds like a dork. Like, Reginald! I'm like, what the fuck? Lady, this is just ridiculous.
That's probably Reggie Fils-Aimé's first name. Reginald.
Yeah, but he's a badass. I mean,
the final duel in all of 5Ds was almost a game of solitaire.
I don't know how to feel about that. Also, I have a huge penis. That has nothing to do with the segment. I just wanted to put it out there for everyone.
So, how about that Twitter thing?
It's Tweezer questions of the week.
If you couldn't tell, Brian's in rare form this week. He's bouncing off the walls with energy.
It's not really that I'm tired. It's that for some reason I was okay the entire day, and then about midnight, I decided to start coughing a lot. This happened last night too, so I don't really need some.
Well, to be fair, you were off the walls crazy in the first half of the podcast.
It was
just a chatterbox.
Well, if logic dictates, I'd be wrong.
Dick.
Maybe the second half of the podcast comes from a different timeline.
I was surprised by that angry, semi-racist rant you went on about Miu.
Ryan, write this down.
Yeah, person who went on that rant.
Yeah, like, me.
When we do this, it reminds me of the finale of Series 5 of Doctor Who, when he had to remember little details like leaving notes for Amelia. He's like, wait, what am I forgetting? I have to make sure things match.
Mr. Penis.
So anyway.
Mr. Penis. Penis.
Okay. I thought we might have this question. I don't remember.
Mr. Golden Penis.
Andrew Booth says, with Dawson's birth of D just passed. And Shugi's coming up when I'm writing this. Happy birthday to you too. Hi, Bella.
Wait, what?
I wanted to know what your favorite
wasn't
birthday
Brian's
present
first?
Is.
Are we in a time loop?
There was this weird thing where everyone was wishing Dawson a happy birthday in like the first week of March.
So something was
they were just
born. They
didn't know when it was, so they're like, happy birth month. I'm like, sweet, it's my birthday all month. Cake every day.
When I went on Ask.fm, it told me it was Dawson's birthday like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's just wrong.
That's where he got it from, too.
Yeah.
It's tiny money.
I was like, wait, are we talking about Brian's birthday for next year? Or what's happening? I guess not.
What
okay.
was the question?
Favorite birthday present.
Yeah.
Oh. That vibrator your mom gave me.
I haven't gotten a birthday present since I was 10.
What? So depressing.
That sounds like a story Dwight tells in his Talking Heads. All street boys stop getting birthday presents at 10, and then we're beaten with a wooden bat for their presents.
Oh my god. I've gotten some pretty neat Star Wars Lego sets the past couple of years for my birthday. Actually, no, last year was a Ninja Turtle set. So those are fun. I like Legos. I think those are some of my favorite birthday presents ever. Legos kick ass.
Ryan's was cough medicine on his birthday. That's all he got was just, he got cough drops, cough medicine.
Yeah, I had a really rough birthday.
Your mother.
Unlike Aerosol, I get way too much shit for my birthday.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
I have no idea. Technically, the PS4 I got in November was my birthday present.
Early.
My mom, so.
Your mom sucks.
That, maybe, whatever.
Thank you, Brian, for that intelligent answer. That, maybe, whatever. Slipped into like a southern accent. Thanks, Matt. Mine was the Yo Gabba Gabba powder from Yo Gabba Gabba Games. Hashtag team awesome. That up or whatever.
I suck dick. who doesn't love them from Yo Gabba Gabba?
Everyone loves Gabba. Anyway. Oh my god, I'm dying again.
Oh, thank god. I mean, hey, Ryan.
Someone else would really have done this week. Chenix asks,
Chenix.
You have the ability to change one time in your past. What would it be and why?
Well, my birthday. About a year and a half happened. Ago, I agreed to do a Kabuto episode.
Of what?
Just think, what would you be doing now if you were never on that episode?
Penis.
Probably have more intelligence points.
Think of all the adventures we've had sitting in our chairs talking.
Masturbating. That's what he'd be doing. He'd be masturbating.
Who isn't?
Not me.
It's weird because your little avatar is a cat. It's so cheerful.
It's adorable.
The cat's masturbating. What? I mean, it's obvious.
Well, one of its hands is off screen.
It's happy for a reason.
Oh god. Okay.
Anyway, moving along. I forgot what we were doing.
Well, about 4 years ago, we started a podcast.
Oh, if I could change something, yeah, I'd totally cut that bitch's throat before I left her.
Well, then you'd be in jail now.
I'd find a way around that. Like, dude, that
English
was totally...
Spitzer, Percy. English
he would
Spitzer.
Still be doing this podcast from a toilet.
True.
Like, then I'd at least feel better about myself.
Well, instead, you'd be sleeping with your boyfriend instead of your girlfriend.
Potato, potato.
But his name would still be Cordelia.
At least in your phone. And depending on what state they threw me in, we might still be getting married, so.
This took a lot of weird turns.
Yeah, it usually does.
That's what she said.
I'm going to say nothing.
I'd go back and win all those spelling bees I lost.
That's weird.
Then I could be champion of all time.
maybe not buy certain things.
Or... Oh, yeah, I definitely not buy Figuarts. Fuck that shit.
Then I'll strike for him?
I would go back about a year and warn myself of how much money I would owe the government so that I could prepare a little bit more thoroughly than I did.
Just make estimated tax payments every quarter.
I don't know how to do that.
You look at what you... An easy way to do that is look at what you owe this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, lesson from TurboTax.
Divide that by 4, and then you can send that in to the IRS like every... There's certain dates you can send it in by. I have to actually look up what they are. And then, yeah, you'd have estimated payments. So they would go, look, you paid your fucking taxes, and they'd apply that. You'd get a form back saying, hey, you paid this money. You take that to your tax preparer, and they'd put that money in. And that would be the same as like the section that says, oh, taxes withheld from W-2s. It'd be a section on the tax return for what you already paid. And then you wouldn't owe money. Or you might just owe like, oh, you underpaid by like $50. Okay, here's $50. You know, or
what
you overpaid.
What is the show even about?
I'm learning how to tax properly.
Well, I took the H&R Block tax course, and I got a 91. I would have gotten higher if I'd have actually just paid attention to the questions on the test instead of just guessing. I got bored. I was listening to the podcast while in class. Headphones are awesome.
Especially when you can find them.
Awesome likes donkey boners.
Trying to figure out this question. Okay, so TKD
started with a good night kiss. Hey, what?
Says, obviously, I was not born TKD Tigre.
Not I saw this question.
I'm like Dawson and hate my name, but unless you have some Hispanic/Latin ancestry,
his name's like Esmeralda or something.
You can pronounce my name. Maybe I think he said can't. So when I first moved to my Caucasian majority hometown, people had such a hard time pronouncing my name. It got to the point where they came up with insulting nickname or E-starting alternatives. So my question is, can you pronounce the name Esteban? And what would be your alternatives? Anything would be better than Esteboner.
Esmeralda. That's what we're going with. The chick from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
It's Esteban, right? I mean, that's the only way I know how to pronounce that set of letters.
We could go with Estevez, like the dude from the Mighty Ducks. Charlie Sheen's brother.
Like, do people really have a hard time saying Esteban?
Maybe he wants to, like, Esteban! Like he just really, like, go for the like, a thick accent when you say it.
Esteban? I don't...
Guys, it's clearly Eastban.
Eastban!
Your name is now Eastbound.
And down.
You need to find someone named Westbound, and then you can make a street.
Oh, my God. We are fucking insulting.
This way you can hop on a train, and when someone asks you where we're going, you can put on a pair of glasses and be like, Eastbound.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Yeehaw!
Yeah! JDF style.
So,
apparently. Oh, yeah!
Something, okay, this is Mr. Moonshark, Kevin Phantom Thong, says, something, what was the scariest moment of your life? Yeah.
Was he doing cheat like JDF Day?
You know, it was on Saturday, it was on my birthday, so you missed it.
The scariest moment of your life?
I can't say whether this was the scariest moment of my life or not, but so we were sleeping, and
the ghost finally attacked.
Yeah, sorry. Well, kind of. The shelving units that were in our closet had a bunch of dog food and stuff on it, and apparently it was too much weight for the brackets in the wall.
Uh-huh.
And so we're sleeping, that just comes crashing down. And this loud just bangs and everything's falling over. So, cat hears it and starts screaming. She was sleeping right next to me. I wake
I'd
up.
I hope
from
so. That's where she usually sleeps.
I woke up from her screaming, so I started screaming because she was screaming. So there was about a minute of just the two of us screaming. And I had no idea why.
She just wanted to fit in.
All I know is I was scared half to death. But that was the first thing that comes to mind. Hey,
Brian, why are you screaming? Because you are, and I wanted to be cool.
Like, all I know is there was a loud noise, and all of a sudden she's screaming in my ear.
So the noise didn't wake you up?
God help you, ever get kind of made me shuffle, but her screaming completely woke me up, and then scared the crap out of me, and then I started screaming. Like, loud noises don't particularly wake me up so much as they kind of break my dream and make me go... Rawr, rawr. And then I, like, flop over.
Loud noises!
Brian's like a cat, which is funny because he sleeps next to one.
Sometimes I sleep next to two because a cat likes to sleep in bed.
That must be so confusing with all the cat's names. And
the cat and then the cat.
The cat and then
the cat named
May-may.
After Terror Ranger, I guess.
Well, that's a good thing to name something after.
I don't like to think about it like that.
Use your powers of penis.
Wait, what's the cat's name?
May.
You could name it after Aunt May.
I don't have a joke for that.
The name is the joke.
Okay.
Also penis.
No one else shared their life-threatening.
I'm thinking, what is my most life-threatening...
This is
scary. It doesn't necessarily have to be life-threatening.
I mean, the dog food falling off of a shelf isn't life-threatening.
Just scared me.
I love to hear what aerosols is after all these seemingly normal occurrences for him.
Well, I'm going to disappoint because I really don't have anything. I mean, most of the time when I am scared, it's mostly because I have some amount of anxiety over... I don't know, if I have to get something done and I'm underprepared or whatever. Like, all of the accidents and stuff that I've been in have happened so quickly that I didn't have time to be scared. Maybe when I had to canoe across a lake and I'm afraid of water.
The Loch Ness Monster was in there.
Did you canoe after you found out your fiancé had turned evil? Like Jetman style. Or no, it's after she died. She died. Suddenly, canoeing.
Well, I was really confused there for
a Well, do you know, in one of my most terrifying experiences, so there's this one time I was in California.
At band camp.
And I was trying to get to Little Japan. I ended up in Little Korea instead. That was fucking terrifying.
That was terrifying.
Where are we? I think we're going to die.
I think I almost got raped and murdered.
Looking forward to this.
Those Koreans.
This is my bread and butter. Walking down the street with aerosol is going to be dangerous.
Then there was this one time I was driving in California, and some dumb bitch is like, "Turn right."
Okay.
And traffic was like looking me in the face.
But you still started to turn as if she said it's okay. It must be okay.
Well, she had the map.
Well, to be fair, you have eyes. Clearly, it's a one-way street.
There's also that one time you almost ran over that dude and then you just said, "Oh, okay."
That was just funny. Let's see. What else was terrifying for me? Let's see. I don't know. I don't know. When we lost the remote for like 3 days to the TV, that was scary.
Beats all of the stories.
Turned out it was just under the sofa, but in such a way that you couldn't see it. It was that remote. It was really like scared. I didn't know what I was gonna have to do. Like, would I have to like use another room's remote and like try to go back and forth without losing that one? Would I have to actually push buttons on the TV every time I wanted to do something? It was really terrifying, and I feared for the future of my life.
You poor thing.
Yeah. That's always terrifying when you lose a TV remote. I mean, because think about it. What if the TV were on and a sad dog commercial came on? Now I have no remote to change the channels.
Now you just have to throw something heavy at it so the screen breaks. If a sad child commercial's on, you just pop the popcorn. But with the dogs, you can't handle it.
Well, you have to pop the popcorn, because then when they go, this kid is eating, you can go, I'm eating, nom 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 nom.
Look how starving this kid is. Man, this burger's so good. Lol.
Earlier today, I saw a flyer for a missing pet, and I couldn't help but think of how I felt more sympathy for the family that lost their pet than I do any time I walk into Walmart or Target and they have all of the pictures of the lost kids.
I'm the exact same way. I always feel more sorry for animals.
Well, you know, the reason being is because I look at those and I go, oh, those people are all dead and buried somewhere. What?
Missing 1995. What's the point?
But like, if that happens,
they come back alive.
If that happens, that's awful. And I feel bad if that's the case for anybody listening. But I don't know. It's just
if
my
you're
first.
You're trapped out there. Sorry.
My first instinct is to feel more sympathy really for tight. The animal.
Well, there was a story like not that long ago about some girl that they thought was long dead, that she was kidnapped, but she was just being held by someone, and that black guy found her. A white girl coming up to a black guy, I knew something was up.
I remember that.
That guy was hilarious. But that's exactly the way I feel about it, and I always love that line from April when she was trying to do that pet drive. She's like, they should be rewarded for not being people. I hate people.
Like, I mean, because you see a lost pet and you think, well, I could find that alive and get that back to someone. But you see, like, oh, a missing kid, you think, right, well, that kid's dead. That's usually how those stories turn out. Like, oh, so-and-so's been missing for, like, a week. We just found their body in the middle of the fucking bayou. Like, oh, well, shit, I could have told you that. I'd have started looking there.
Kevin's laughing through this. Dead bodies in the bayou. Lol.
So I'm not exactly sure how this topic came up, but let's move along.
Did you know that Ice Cream Kitty is voiced by Kevin Eastman?
Yes.
That is hilarious to me. He was here at Comic-Con a year ago, and I didn't get to see him. I could have been like, look, you're Ice Cream Kitty. But I wouldn't have that knowledge, because I wouldn't have been from the future.
You don't know that.
I don't either. You might have
known
that.
Next caller.
Corey Gong.
Where's the next letter?
Says, do songs ever give you the tingles? I can't take the word tingles seriously.
Only
during a show/movie.
How low?
Give the tingles in my pee-pee.
That's what I get when I hear the Animorphs theme every time.
Let It Go makes me tingle. Especially when Brian sings it.
To actually answer it, I mean, I get goosebumps whenever a really, like, cool or just fitting song plays during a somewhat epic moment of a TV show or whatnot. It's something that happens a lot in Sentai and Power Rangers and Kamen Rider, where they'll play a song over, you know, something happening, whether it's a fight scene or whatever, and it really gets you in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you hear that music, you're like, oh, shit's about to go down, son! Kill that motherfucker! And you just get all, like, pumped, and you become black, and
you get so many goosebumps, you become, like, black.
Like, if you're black, you become navy, like, you just get even darker.
I usually have to time travel for that.
Black persona. Slay down some fat beats. You're laying it on so thick. Ladies and gentlemen, Seal.
Speaking of black people.
And then he breaks up with Heidi Klum for
See?
No fucking reason.
It all ties together. And then you think there's Navy Seals, so it ties into Kevin's Navy comment.
Kiss from a rose.
To actually answer the question, yeah, sometimes. Basically the same sort of moments that you guys just said.
Also penis.
Yep, that too. Finally, Kiefer asks, if you were given a special space-time ticket to visit a TRU of any year and $1,000 spending cash, when would you go and what would your primary targets be?
Wait, I'm going to visit a what?
We're going to a Toys R Us.
Oh, okay.
Of any year.
I heard TRU and I'm like, what the fuck is a
TRU?
Oh, that's better. You speak clearly, motherfucker. Enunciate.
You enunciate.
Look, I'm edumacated down here where we know learning, okay?
Hey, let me ask you
Captain
something.
Captain
Axe. Listen here, boy. I'm going to ask you
Kevin,
something real good.
What's that website that like you search stuff for that's not Bing or Google or Yahoo? It's something Jeeves.
Axe Jeeves. I'm going to ask you something right now, boy.
So good. Anyway, I would go to When in Space was out and get me an Astromorpher because mine – I actually tried to redo the batteries the other day to see if maybe I was mistaken that it doesn't work. I was. The lights work but no sounds. So it's very sad and I'd want to get one.
I would go back to when I bought – I would go back to a time when there was such a thing as a KB Toys. Because I'd leave the Toys R Us and I'd walk down the street with fucking KB Toys because – and here's why. Because the KB Toys where I used to be existing in my mall, which is right down the street from the Toys R Us, would have like 3 to 4 years worth of Power Ranger toys at one time because I don't know why. They'd have old shit.
Like KB Toys?
Yeah, like they like literally they had like Lost Galaxy, Lightspeed Rescue, and Time Force toys all at the same time. Like Megazord just sitting next to each other on the shelf, and I'm like, holy fucking shit.
Well, so that's because Time Force was there. Think about it.
That's true. So I would go and I would buy their stock out. I'd also buy the other Rampage that was on the shelf when I bought mine to replace. That way I had one to replace the one that just got destroyed. that I mentioned earlier in the one-ups that happened already completely.
What? That was crazy.
I know. It was an awful story of heartache and misery. And then I'd have a Transmetal Rampage.
I don't think anything could beat that story about when you went to go eat chicken. I was like, what? He ate? I was like, that's crazy. I can't believe that's a real story.
I did eat chicken. It was fucking good. Love that fried chicken. Those Twin Peaks girls are awesome. Just saying.
I forgot what the question was. Oh yeah, KB Toys.
Or I could go back to when TRU first existed just to see what was there and then steal everything and keep the money.
I would probably, not to copy Kevin's answer, but around the same time period that Transmetal Beast Wars was around and whatever PR was on at the time, and just kind of tackle those and make sure that I keep them in good condition, since all of my Beast Wars toys from when I was a child are completely obliterated.
When I was a child, dude, I fucking bought Rat Trap like 3 years ago, whatever it was, off of fucking eBay, and like 2 days later, all of the red paint was scraped off. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm gonna need you to settle down.
Like, well, I really like Rat Trap, motherfucker, and all of his shiny metal paint is, like, gone. I barely touched him. It just scraped off when I, like, put my finger on it.
Maybe you shouldn't have poured that paint thinner on him and said, have a shower. That's probably what did it.
I'm not the kid in fucking Toy Story.
Okay. Great Sid impression.
Yeah, Transmetal in general is pretty awful. Because the paint flakes, like you said, it just rubs off and it just turns into disaster. But
like, I would go back to Transmetal time and just buy all the Transformers. Then I'd actually have some. Because I love Transmetal and I love Beast Wars.
Makes sense.
Alright. Also, I banged your mom last night. Just want you to know that.
All right, so
you get some weird fucking questions on your Ask God FM. I just want to point that out too.
Do you think?
I know. There was one Dawson answered with just my name for some reason. That was weird. I don't understand how I'm relevant in his questions, but
what?
I don't know. I was like one question. You had it. I don't know what it said. You're just like Kevin.
Oh, because it was such a. It sounded like something you would say.
Oh,
I was confused.
Lots of people attempt to carry on conversations there with me. I'm like, you realize this is just to ask questions. This isn't like a back and forth.
They want to have a dialogue, a discussion, you know, two people back and forth, communicating, discussing ideas, and sharing their thoughts and feelings with each other, and then masturbating.
Because now it's time for...
Final Phase!
Live version!
I was going to say original recipe.
With the echo. I have a thingy and it's not final yet. Dun dun dun! Yeah.
Is the thingy reaching an end?
It could be part of the season 5 retooling.
It's gonna be complete reworking.
We replace aerosol with an actual black person.
We're going to lube our hair up with grease. It's gonna be ridiculous. It's gonna be like a Mega Ranger retooling. We're gonna like just the same boring storylines, but with more grease.
We could take and like replace aerosol with an actual black person, but still call him aerosol. See if anyone notices.
Well, if you could see him, you'd probably notice it. Well, maybe aerosol's black. We don't know.
Yeah, or we could replace him with Chris, but still say aerosol and see if anyone notices.
That's a pretty big jump.
Confuse the audience.
Yeah, you
no, you wouldn't. You just sit there talking to yourself.
What would happen to me in that situation? Like,
you would still sit at your computer and talk to yourself.
Oh. Okay.
That's what you're doing right now. We don't even exist.
Exactly. We're all figments of your imagination, aerosol.
Huh.
You know.
Okay, well, bye.